It's a little hard to do a follow-up after that.
What a great song. This morning, Feli told me she was singing a song with the girls' choir, but she failed to tell me what title it was. So I just told her, I said, put it on the program where you see you need fit. And I'm getting ready to print out the programs this afternoon. And when I print out, I saw that she was singing Jailbreak. And I couldn't have done it better myself. I can't do a better job than the Holy Spirit. And that's a fact. Because the title that I was preparing for the whole week is called Chains Are Gone. And what it's about is about the captivity of social media. Laura sent me a video this week, and it really intrigued my interest. And then after she sent it to me, I saw it over 10 or 20 posts on different people that I have on Facebook, posting the same video. And I realized how important it was, and that how well it flowed with the next passage about Abraham. So, considering all that, I want to ask you guys, how often do you check your phone? Not just the youth, everybody. Because either watches don't come all handy anymore, it's usually checking the phone for the time. Twice a day, once every hour, more often. The average person does it 110 times a day. The average number of a user, and this is a quote, okay? So mind you, you're not a person anymore, you're a user at this point. The average number a user checks their phone is 9 times an hour. During peak times, this equates to once every 6 seconds. And with some users unlocking their devices up to 900 times over the course of the day, which in reality is about 18 hours. Some things people observe and say about our new age of technology and social media. These are some quotes. The first person says, it doesn't matter if I'm with friends or with family because they all have their faces and their phones. And I can't say or do anything that's interesting enough to compete with that. And ain't that the truth? It's pretty hard to compete with the phone and the constant information that's being fed to us. Another one, hospitals and nursing homes have free Wi-Fi for patients and for visitors. So now we don't even have to talk to patients when we go in for a visit. Third person says, she says she was talking to her friends, the ones she never met in person. My niece doesn't seem to have any boundaries as far as what she will share about herself or others over the internet. She shares everything with people in her phone, and they are most important than the people she's actually with, because she's on her phone, not with the people that she's with. Smartphones and internet have changed our culture, and we have created an entire civilization that is totally dependent on it. And in this technological universe, we have done one thing. We have sacrificed conversation for just a mere connection. At home, families sit together texting and reading email. We text, we shop, and we go to Facebook during classes and even while we're on dates. We've become accustomed to a new way of being alone together. This is what we do. One more post, one more tweet, one more selfie on Instagram, one more pic to send through Snapchat, before we give the person in front of us attention. You see, we stopped socializing and we started social mediating. Abraham actually had a vision of what this looked like and what captivity is. And he had a dream about it. Ankh, I was actually amazed when I brought this up, because Moses had a vision of what the people of Israel would be. for 400 years in slavery. Genesis 15 from 12 says, "Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell over Abram, and behold, a horror and great darkness fell upon him." So he had a nightmare. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with the great possessions." The main thing out of that text is that he says that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, which is what's happening here. We're in America. It's a land that's not ours. And they will serve them and they will afflict them for 400 years. Now, I'm going to address the older generation. If somebody told you 40 years ago, not 400 years ago, that your kids, our generation, would be enslaved to a phone that would become wireless, handheld, you would have laughed at them. Not knowing that a TV would become a computer that would be used on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. That's what the phone that we used to turn and dial from the black and white TV has turned into. I don't think anybody would have believed Abraham that his people would be enslaved for 400 years if he told them that day or the next day. He said, "You're crazy. There's no way." And the same way, if we told some of our parents in 1960s that a TV would be a computer that we can talk to, an internet, they would have said, "No way. There's no way that technology advances that quick." But here we are. What's important is that we can change and not be enslaved. We can break these chains of social media, these chains of distractions, and we can be free. As the song said, I am free indeed. I heard Dr. Randy Carlson, which hosts a radio show. Maybe many of you have heard him on the Christian radio. It's called Intentional Living. He has written many books as a Christian counselor. And he talked on a special episode about distractions in our lives. And one girl had called in and said, talking about Facebook, that she tries to go on a 10-day fast. But afterwards, she comes back after 10 days and goes 3 times more on it than before. And she bilges on it. And the question is, how can we break free of these chains? How do we do this big question? Well, it's right here, of course, in the Word of God. Luke 4:18 says, "He came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery to the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." I'm going to read that again. "He came to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery to the sight of the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed." That is what Jesus came out to do, to set us free from what we can't do ourselves. Well, how do you do this practically? I'm curious if you can guess it. It's one thing that I say over and over and over again, and that's prayer. You have to want it and ask for it with an ardent heart. And if you're asking what ardent means, with a passionate heart that burns. I used to be hooked to this TV show, and I don't know for what reason, but I was. I knew it wasn't right, and I wanted to quit, but I couldn't. And so I asked God with a sincere and ardent heart to help me quit, to stop it somehow. Well, I was on the 10th episode, and then the show stopped. So here I am on my computer Googling quickly to find out when the next season was going to start. When I looked it up, they stopped it. And it was one of the shows that they would stop reproducing. I just said, "Praise the Lord." I didn't actually believe that he can stop TV shows or popular TV shows that would keep on going in order for him to change me. But he did, and he answered my prayer. Amen. Amen. I was so happy that God came through once again. Bob Coughlin writes in the Worship Matters book, And I ask Catalin probably to help me with slide to the next slide with a quote. It says, I understood that I couldn't save myself. I just didn't think of myself as a very great sinner, which meant I didn't need a great Savior. See, that's the problem with us. We must void ourselves of our ego and realize that we can't do anything ourselves. We need a great Savior. That's why God did not put us a mediocre Savior, an okay Savior. He made a great Savior. It's for us to realize that only He can do it. It's got to be something great. Because little peddly things we can do ourselves. Some may say, well, I have no problem with this social media platforms. I'm just a modest user. Well, if you are, then I would say prove it. As I say to many that are dependent on caffeine or nicotine or any other addicting substance. How simple. Take a 21-day fast from it and see if you have any symptoms of withdrawal, or replace it with the Word of God. See if God will not transform your mind and show Himself in ways you've never seen Him. See, I remember when I did the Daniel fast. It was 21 days. I not only did eat only vegetarian, no dairy or breads, but the most important part of the fast was that I cut TV and Facebook. TVs, movies, shows, and just connected purely with God for those 21 days and His Word, and read books. And wow, was it an awakening. In times like that, I realized how much time I had on my hands. Also, I realized how much I was on TV and how much time I wasted with it, and so much less time with God. I found time to look for worship songs. I found time to study the Word of God. And God revealed Himself about what His worship is about. And it was a time of really of revelation and enlightening. 21 days signifies a time of renewal. Because believe it or not, it takes 21 days to make a new habit as well. The chains can be gone and the shackles broken. The time for burdens, addictions, distraction is over. Jesus came to set you free. And all you have to do is ask. The decision has to be made in the heart, though. And if you guys were at the message when Fratele Sami talked about from Proverbs, that the battle is for the heart. It starts in the heart. And that if we want to have a changed heart, that's what it starts. We all battle the same issues or principles, but in different ways. The older might be doing by being workaholics. You guys do it by overworking the social media. The fact is the chains are still there, and only Jesus can set them free. So decide in your heart that you can make the change before it's too late. And do not ever stop from prayer to make that change. Amen.
Amen.
And may God give you guys the freedom that He has given me. Be blessed.